Good evening. My name is Trish Nelson. I'm one of the pastors here at Christ Church. I am delighted that you're here. I am here to talk about Good Friday, which is the date on the Christian calendar when we remember Jesus' death on the cross. And with mourning and sorrow, we remember that it is our sins that caused him to have to go there. We just heard a very profound reading, something that should shake us to our core. And we could spend this evening now, talking about Christ's death on the cross, the sins that put him there. All of those would be great sermons. That's not the sermon I'm preaching today. Today, I'd like to talk a little bit about how we respond to what we've just heard, to how we respond to what has happened as Jesus died on that cross tonight. I think that the reason that I'd like to talk about our response is because as I thought about Good Friday, I realized that it is fitting that we're talking about this, because Good Friday this year comes at the end of a year of grief and lament. Grief upon grief. It's been a hard year. It feels like this entire year is a single Good Friday stretched thin. We have seen so much grief and loss. People we can't be with. Things that we can't do together anymore. Just the privilege of sitting here tonight together is something that is to be cherished now, isn't it? Do you have a single picture in your head when somebody says the word COVID or pandemic? I would love to go around to each of you and say, what do you think of when I say that word? I'm going to tell you mine. It was the first Sunday after we had closed this building for services. And I had come here on that Sunday morning to be here in case somebody had not gotten the emails that we were closed due to the pandemic. And I was sitting in my office by myself, and I looked out of my office window, and the parking lot was empty, except for my car. Snapshot. It was lonely and empty, and it meant that we were not going to be together to worship. It was scary to be the only one here and to not know when we could ever do this again. God often gives us pictures, moments to lament and remember. This week we've had the Last Supper. We had Jesus washing the disciples' feet, and today we have the cross. But those pictures are stacked on a year's worth of pictures. It's almost a lament montage. I think this might be as close as we have ever come as a people to experiencing what they were experiencing when Jesus was on that cross, the how long, O Lord, the cry of lament that hits you in your soul. I've been crying out lately by writing haiku poetry, so I wrote one for tonight. A pandemic is perpetual Good Friday, no Easter in sight. My goal tonight, for all of us, for tonight and for ongoing, is to help us learn to lament well, to understand lament and the role that it plays in the life of a Christ follower. Over the last year, God has really been working this in my life. It has changed who I am. It has changed how I feel. So what is lament? And friends, this was news to me. And you might say to yourself when I tell you this, but Trish, you're a clergy. You should have known this. I did not know this. Lament is uniquely Judeo-Christian. There is no other culture, no other worship practice, no other religion, no other society where you bring your prayers, just bring your prayers alone, and the Lord offers to take your burden, to share in your lament to act when you pray. And it is something that the Lord wants us to learn to do. We have books like the Psalms or Lamentations, Ezekiel. They all teach us beautiful ways to lament. And if I had all night, I would stand here and read them all out loud to you. But we don't. You might be sitting there thinking, but what if I don't lament? I don't want to. It makes me sad. There's been too much grief. And then I would say, that's how we end up holding on to grief. If we don't lament, we keep our grief. So since COVID began, I noticed that as we went more and more into this time, that my prayer life became drier. I'd been praying without much relief. I didn't get that sense of spiritual ease after my time of prayer. The need seemed so overwhelming. Not only was there COVID in the pandemic, there was this place. There was racial unrest. There was division. There was political trial. There was my family. There was all of the things that were just happening because of COVID. And it became a list of things. And the list was the same almost every day, and it got longer and longer. So in this season, my regular prayer life was not enough. It became too much to muscle through on my own. Maybe you have had that experience. I know this because I started grieving in the strangest places. Have any of you ever wept on the Stairmaster of your health club? I was thinking about our cafe and early morning Sunday coffee while I was in the coffee aisle at Hen House, and I broke out into tears. I've been deluged with brain fog. I don't feel fully present a lot of the time. I needed to learn to lament. But the thing that changed it, the thing that was the wake-up call for me, was I received a letter on a completely different matter. And the end of that letter said, now vaccines are going to come out and we'll be able to resume our life and we can look forward to the future and can't wait to get started. And I broke down in tears. When you have that kind of overreaction to something like that, that indicates that you have some grieving to do. And if we don't lament, we hold on to that grief. But people, here was my problem. Twofold. I was raised by Bob and Betty, and you did not lament in my house. You had no reason to complain about a single thing. Now, if I really wanted something to complain about, they would give me something, but I had no right to complain. And the second thing was that I had mistaken lament for complaint. I had never made the connection that there is a big difference. So let me share for you the definition of lament. A lament is bringing your pain, anger, or the things that are wrong in the world and asking God to intervene. Specifically asking God to intervene. Complaining is simply announcing your dissatisfaction with something. Do you see the difference? Here's an example. A complaint might be, COVID ruins everything. A lament might be, Father, I am lonely. Would you please heal the world of COVID, and would you bring me a friend? The truth is, when we ask God to intervene, He promises to respond. It may not be what we ask, but He will respond. And therein lies the significance. He is saying that He promises to come in, and not only in a material way, but in a spiritual way, answer your prayer, to answer what you're crying out to Him for. Lament is the only antidote to holding on to your grief and your pain. For those of us carrying a lot of grief today, I wrote this haiku. Holding many griefs, too heavy to keep holding, cannot put them down. And my answer is, yes, you can. That is the purpose of lament. You might be saying, why are we talking about this on Good Friday? There's a lot we could be talking about. Well, it's because Good Friday is a day of lament. And unlike any other activity in a time of grief, knowing how to lament well can not only transform us, but it can heal us. Here are a few sample laments of mine for this Good Friday season. Lord, following Jesus to the cross is hard and frightening. Please make me brave. Lord, I want all the security and the comforts of this life. Help me find my comfort and my security in you. Jesus has showed me that this is a better way. Lord, I am not humble, like Jesus who endured humiliation on a cross. Please change me so I pay more attention to others. Lord, because of who you are, save me. You might be asking, why would God want to teach us to do this? Here is my thinking on that. We are made in the image of God, and we image a God who grieves and laments. God describes himself as compassionate, merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. That's him describing himself in chapter 34 of Exodus. That's his description of himself, but that very description means he is setting himself up for heartbreak. It means that he can be hurt. That nature is also the same nature that he responds to us. So when we bring our laments to him, he responds with mercy and compassion. And isn't that something that we are invited into the throne room of God to bring our laments, and he promises to act in a way that is merciful and compassionate. Here are some times that God has grieved. God grieved after the fall in the garden, and he saw that all of the creation had become corrupt and violent. And he looked down on man that he had made, and he grieved. When, after rescuing the Israelites from Egypt and bringing them through the Red Sea, and then get to the base of Mount Sinai, Moses climbs up the mountain to get the Ten Commandments, and it didn't take very long before his people made a golden calf, called it Yahweh, and worshiped it. That simultaneously breaks commandment number 1, 2, and 3. And Jesus too. He mourned at Lazarus's tomb. He wept. And he wasn't just weeping for his dear friend Lazarus. He was weeping for Martha and Mary, who he loved dearly. And he was weeping for death, that there is death in our world. So, our Lord experiences grief upon grief, and our Creator knows that this is true for us as image bearers as well, so he has given us an answer. He's given us a way to unload our burden and for him to share it with us. Another thing, we live on this side of the cross. We know that Easter is coming, and I don't know if you're like me, but isn't it so much easier to jump forward to praise and celebration and thanksgiving for the work that has been done in the resurrection? It makes it very difficult to stay in lament. That's why lament is an essential discipline for a Christ follower. So God gave us all these scriptures and the Psalms, but more than that, we We follow a Christian calendar, and thanks be to God, there are days set aside for lament. It reminds us to cry out before God, knowing that he's going to take those burdens and he's going to act. And today is just such a day. In our life groups, the last term, we had a fantastic curriculum. And on the week that we talked about the triumphal entry, we were asked, when Jesus came down the road and all of his followers were throwing palm branches and coats and waving, "Save us, save us," they were saying, "Save us from Roman oppression, brutality, taxes, poverty." The curriculum or the question was, if Jesus were here right now, walking in a street like that, and you were there crying out, "Save me," what would you want him to save you from? What would you want from him? How would you want him to intervene? So we're about to spend a few minutes in reflection. We're going to be meditating on the cross. And I would encourage you to do the hard work of lament, praying that the God that we worship will intervene in all things that cause your heart to say, "Save us." Because the good news of Jesus, our Savior, is that he did. He did save us. And his Spirit is here as our comfort and our guide. And Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he's going to come again. But that's a celebration that must wait. Let this truth, though, sustain you as you lament the problems in our world right now, in the griefs of this moment, and our need for a Savior and his death on a cross for all of us. Now, we used to be able to come forward to the cross, but because of our circumstances right now, I encourage you to stay seated or kneel and use this time to reflect on what Jesus has done for us on the cross.